Call the August Finance Committee meeting to order. The first agenda item is the approval of the minutes from the July 1st meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. Next is the public comment period. If anybody would like to make a comment, you have 2 minutes. Name and address.
Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. And I'm going to make enemies by saying what I'm about to say.
Great.
Yep. Just from what I've read, the museum, the new museum, is looking for $3 million from the town of Mount Pleasant. And I am so against that. That is not what the town should be spending their money on, spending our money on. That's it, pure and simple. The previous museum, we were giving some money for a road, and now it's $3 million. We can't find money to go out and buy open space land for our town, and I'm sure other things that we say we don't have the money for. This, we should not be giving money to this museum. Let them go out and fundraise for it.
Thank you. Any other comments? Please.
Hello to all. My name's Stokes. Live on James Island, but I was here to comment on the paid parking. I manage Palmetto Parking, and just wanted to say I think you guys are on the right track. The parking program could be set up where it doesn't affect the folks, the residents who live in Mount Pleasant. You can make the program so it brings in revenue and you know, impacts the quality of life, improves quality of life. We'd be happy to do a presentation for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any other comments, public comments by anyone? Okay, thank you. We will move to the agenda. The first is a request for funding to support the National Medal of Honor Heritage Center. We believe we have the chair, Mr. McQueenie, here. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I brought a PowerPoint with me, and what I wanted to do is just go through that. I'm not going to read it to everyone, but I do have copies of this if anybody wants to take those with them as well. But first of all, thank you for having me here. The mission that we have with the National Medal of Honor Heritage Foundation is to honor those that have protected our freedoms, and those are the recipients of the Medal of Honor. You know, there's a sense of urgency in getting this done. We know that there was a failed project here before. That makes it an uphill battle, which we recognize. We recognize that that uphill battle also has a diminishing return in terms of Medal of Honor recipients. There were 121 here on the Yorktown in 2007. I was there. It was a fantastic night for America. Only 71 of those recipients remain, and they're mostly Vietnam-era veterans, with the bulk of them. They're nearly 80 years old in that crowd. There are 4 World War II recipients remaining, and there's also 3 Korean War veterans that were recipients. So we have a sense of urgency, not just for that, but to turn this thing around and get some positive results. One of the things that we did is to take a hard look at the project and say, what do we really want to do? What we'd like to do is put a museum here that's not ostentatious. It's not about the design. It's about what's inside that museum. And we feel like we can do that at 50,000 square feet or less, which kind of takes the numbers down to about a $35 million facility. and another $10 million dedicated to the interior needs of that facility. We'll also put aside money for sustainability funding within that $10 million. We anticipate that our funding will come from three areas. Now, this will obviously imbalance as we go along. Their public funding being $15 million, private $15 million, and corporate $15 million. What we want to really, our message to the public is, we're not going to spend corpus funds on a museum that's not built. So we have a saying that we've incorporated into our effort here, and that is, a museum or your money back. We're not going to spend corpus funds. We'll spend other funds that we'll be able to get from interest earnings and so forth. The conceptual design, this was a little bit of a problem for the whole area. Nobody really understood where that was going. And in right sizing this, what we want to do is find something that's complementary to the area, complementary to the assets that will be in the desired location at Patriots Point. And what we want to do is have that architectural design. Now, this is just one of them. We have several others being submitted. We have a gentleman driving up from Miami, as a matter of fact, on Wednesday to look. He's bringing a design that he's been working on for a number of months. So there'll be several designs, but what we will tell you is that we will conform to the PPDA, Patriots Point Development Authority, what their requirements are, and we will conform to the town of Mount Pleasant, what their law and what their zoning says. So we won't bring you anything you'll have to think about. It's going to be something that is within the guidelines. By congressional act, this is the Senate Bill 1663, by the way, that was sponsored by the late John McCain. Mount Pleasant is the national home for the Medal of Honor Museum. Nobody can take that title. The current museum was upgraded on Yorktown. Many don't know this, but they spent $1 million to upgrade that back in 2007. Some of you contributed to that. The Medal of Honor Society just renewed the contract for that museum, and it goes through July of 2023, which is an important date for us because our timeline is that we want to have this built by July of 2023. And we went to New York. I did, and I spoke with the chairman of the Medal of Honor, who's a recipient, Major Drew Dix, to talk to him about this, and we got the explicit permission from the Medal of Honor Society to build the museum here. We've built three boards around this. One board is a national advisory board. I have a copy of those that I'll distribute as well, but they're on the back of this presentation. And we've kind of filled in that board with some folks here, and I think the one thing I want you to know from this is we're not going anywhere. We're local. We're going to get this done here with people that live here. We received some conditional support from Charleston County of $5 million on May the 29th. So many of you read about that. I'm going into all that detail. And our website is already set up and taking donations at nmoh.hf.org. I don't expect you to read this. But what you can take from this, and I have copies of it that you could read a little bit better, is what it brings, what this museum will bring to the Lowcountry. 49 permanent jobs and other construction jobs, which will total over 200. 377,000 annual visitors. And that's low. That's based on the PGAV study that the previous group had in 2011. And the economic impact is over $85 million. Now, our public funding plan is why I'm here today. I mentioned that Charleston County, the state of South Carolina, still has the $5 million that was returned. And, you know, we're going to approach the state about trying to retrieve that money back for this effort. Hopefully we'll be successful in that endeavor. Our organization is a 501c3 nonprofit. We'll pursue other public funding from federal government, City of Charleston, the City of North Charleston. Now, this is not to say that we're depending on public funding only. We're depending on corporations and private individuals that are patriotic, that see this as an important part of the American landscape. And we think it belongs here in Charleston. Our ask in Mount Pleasant is, detail is $1.2 million in immediate funding, $500,000, which is to be used for startup and campaign costs, and the other $1.8 million over the next 2 years. And we can be flexible on that as well. I talked about the three boards. We have a national advisory board, an executive committee, which I chair, and a special forces team. Why I think this is important is because of the talent they bring to the table. These are people that can just about do anything. And we've operated since March behind the scenes with a launch on July 29th with no paid person. We've just done this on our own, really. So, and that's, we can't stay like that. We're going to have to find a professional fundraiser. We're going to have to find an executive director, a marketing team, a website team, and so forth. And I think that ends it. No, here's our boards. Now, and I'll open up for questions that anybody may have.
I think we will have some questions, so if you could just stay right there, that would be good. I want to start off with a couple of comments first, though. I'm really happy to see you personally standing at that podium.
Thank you.
You live in Mount Pleasant.
I do.
You're a Mount Pleasant resident. Your office is in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us that know you know that whatever the mountain is, you're going to figure this out. So that's gratifying to me. Despite what's been written in the papers, despite what's been said in the public, I believe there are 9 people on this council, and I shouldn't speak for others, that really would like to see this happen. And so it's good to see you there. I think that this town will benefit from something like this at a place where we already have Patriots Point, which the fit is just perfect. So that's good. So a couple of questions, and if it's okay, I'd like to start with a couple.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with you, so I'm probably going to ask Eric. But the $5 million that was committed by county council was accommodations tax money, correct? Or we don't know that for sure.
I believe it was, sir. Thinking back on their budget, yes.
Okay. And we generally receive an appropriation of accommodations tax money from that county source, mm-hmm, for the town of Mount Pleasant each year.
Correct.
Did their commitment to this project come from our allocation, or do we expect to get the same allocation of funding that we normally have gotten?
That's a tough question to answer, because you could look at it either way. But we receive roughly $500,000 or so every year from,
okay,
of what they collect that comes back to us. And they have reduced that to $178,000.
From $500,000 to $178,000.
About right.
Was there an explanation as to why?
Because we had a local project. What they try to avoid is a community double dipping.
Okay.
You get some for the coffers of the government, and then there's another project.
That makes sense.
In light of that, they had reduced our portion.
Okay. So they consider this a local project. Could they have given us the money and us make it a local project, with us then in turn making that? Because right now, everywhere and in the newspaper and everywhere else, it looks like the county gave them $5 million, and now they're asking us for more. So, I don't know if it's much different, but it just seems like to me that they were giving away an appropriation that if we would have gotten, we could have made the appropriation.
That's true.
So I don't even know if there's a question there. It's just understanding that. Okay, so my third comment before we open it up, the road money that was allocated by this council for the road project, was that TIF funding?
700, 1.5 originally committed, 1.1 left, 700,000 of that is TIF funding, 400,000 is accommodations tax.
Our accommodations tax or theirs, or what we were going to use for?
We receive, yes.
Okay, wow. Because I would like to have a discussion by the committee, since we it looks as if we're going to be asked for an immediate request of some money to get started, of figuring out how we can make some type of transfer from what was the road project to the start of this project right now. Would that be possible?
It is, but not the TIF money.
Okay.
The TIF money has to be on a government-owned brick-and-mortar project.
Okay.
Which is only eligible for, not for the facility, could only be eligible for the road.
Okay.
Because it's connecting to the TIF district. By in and of itself, where the facility is to be built is not in a TIF district. So unless that TIF money is used for a road relocation, it is off the table.
Right.
But the accommodations tax money, the remaining 400,000, is not. If you and council wish to reallocate that money to this cause, you could do that.
And Mr. McQueenie, there was a figure that you gave that you were looking for some immediate. What was that number?
The 1.2, of which 500,000 would be used as startup cost in initiation funds, so that we could. Patriots Point Development Authority requires us to have a feasibility study, a sustainability study, and a professional business plan in which we have to hire someone to do that.
Okay, and when you say immediately, like, what's that mean? 90 days?
Next 90 days, yeah.
Because we have a couple of hurdles that we have to legislatively, you know, we have to operate within a budget. If we're going to go outside of that budget, we've got to figure out how and where those sources will come from. But I do believe, if I'm right, there's at least 400,000 right now that this committee could recommend to full council to switch the appropriation from the road to this. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so I have done way too much talking. I would like to open the floor to the other committee members for any comments or... Gary?
Gladly. Just doing the math based on those numbers, I'm coming up with about $322,000 from, based on what we talked about, the 500,000 and 178,000. So they'll be getting about 322,000 from our accommodations tax, roughly.
Four.
I heard you say four, but the numbers that they came up with just a minute ago, I just did the math.
Yeah, that's if you're assuming that what the county did after reducing it is to shuffle or direct that money to their promise.
Yeah.
I assume that's what happened.
Seems like they've done that, yes.
Yeah, yes.
I think they probably did. So our budget started July 1st, correct?
Yes.
This budget. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, we have a lot of things that we're trying to do for our citizens, stormwater management, the drainage projects we're doing, the new docks on Shem Creek we're buying, working with Oceanside on a new stadium. All that's in the design stage as well. We've got so many things that we already got set up, and I know you know better than anybody else where we stand with all of this. You know, as the administrator, what do you think about where would this money come from? I mean, our budget's in place now, so I don't see us changing our budget now unless something else comes up that we just don't know about yet. So do you have any ideas about where would this come from? I mean, I was thinking about our future budgets, being able to put money aside to try and help them, because I don't want to hurt the folks that we've already said we'd work with when we approve this budget here. I don't want to be able to say, oh, sorry, now we can't, you know, fix the drainage on the street, or now we can't do this or can't do that because of what we're doing. And so that's one of my main concerns. Certainly, I'm like Tom, I want to see him build this, and I'll do anything I can to help. but I don't want to go back on what we've told citizens already based on this current budget that we have and say, you know, sorry, you know, you're going to have your house flooded another year or two before we can do something else or things like that. So that's where my big concern is right now.
Okay. Ms. Landy?
Yeah. If I could interject, and I know you asked Eric a question, so hopefully Mr. DeMora can sort of respond on both of these. One, I think maybe that number 1.2 may be one that was floated around, but if it's 1.1, let's just say it's 1.1 for a minute, money that was already allocated that I clearly remember that we said was set aside because we weren't going to be funding the other museum, and therefore we didn't know what would happen. If there was any other project, we didn't know whether there was going to be a road movement involved. As it turns out, it's not road movement, and I'm not sure if I was clear, and I'm not sure that anybody else was other than certainly the folks that are behind it, like Mr. DeMora, that 700 was TIF money that can only be used for the roads. So having said that, I don't think that the ask sounds like it was intended to be against this year's budget per se, but perhaps against those funds that were already allocated. It looked to me like the ask was related to out years, like maybe the 2021 and 22 budget. And I heard you say, Mr. McQueenie, that it could also even be a little bit more negotiable, maybe even 3 years at 600 or whatever, rather than 900 per year. So I think the part about we're going to take away from something else, maybe we can set that aside, because I don't think that was the intention, at least not what I had heard. So the real question is on the 700 related to the TIF fund money. Is there anything else that we currently are committed to already for this budget, since the timing of this is that we already have a budget in hand for the new year? Is there anything in there, and I'll just throw one idea out. I know we're doing that waterfront pier project, and I feel like there wasn't quite enough money to cover the whole cost. Maybe some of that was coming from elsewhere. Could we take some of this TIF money, finish that project? Or could we take it and could some of it be applied to what we did with Wando Dock or with Shem Creek, for anything that, in other words, that we'd just be swapping that 700?
I think I anticipate the large construction transportation project you have at Coleman and Patriots Point and Mathis Ferry will likely be, you know, what prices are doing out there, more than what we have budgeted. So if that TIF portion, 700,000 and change, falls back out because of no road relocation, it should go to that project at the intersection. It's going to be needed there and it's eligible. And it was a named project upon TIF expiration. The remaining 400 or so that we talked about seems to me, unless Marcy tells me I'm missing something, is a fairly painless reallocation of remaining money. It's not in this year's budget. It's been budgeted before for the road relocation of Patriots Point. Anything beyond that, to Mr. Santos's question, is really a council determination of priorities. And you know, Mr. Santos did mention, you know, we're going to need more money for Wando Docks and Carolina Park, and we have a wage and classification study about to be underway for employees. And one or two other things I'm sure I'm missing. But if council deems that this is to be a priority, then we'll have to go back and reshuffle those things, and some will have to wait. We will have some trouble with the drop to 178,000 in the accommodations allocation from the county, because we had no warning or advance notice of that, and we have projects lined up to get that money that's not coming in anymore. So we're going to have to reshuffle on our end, nothing really to do with the cause here.
Can I just add? Yes. So first, that is a curveball that was thrown at us literally like Friday, I think. Maybe we might have gotten that email, or maybe Thursday from you or something, that council just let us know that. So I'm wondering if we're going to have a separate issue, but I'm wondering, it's sort of not a separate issue, because we're looking at something where we want to try to come up with some money, if council's in agreement that this is an important priority, we want to come up with that money, and then all of a sudden we're told you're going to get $350,000 less because of the same project. So that is kind of more than awkward. I don't know if that, as a separate conversation, we can go back to Charleston County and say, hey, I'm happy you voted the $5 million for the Medal of Honor Heritage Center. We're happy it's going to be built in Mount Pleasant, since that's the National Medal of Honor site. but could you do something different in terms of coming up with this money, because we've already budgeted that. And so for them to just suddenly decide, nope, we're not going to do that anymore, and you have to do without after you've already set your budget. Seems like that might be a separate conversation. What do you think about that?
It's possible. I think it. We had staff conversations, town, county, about the impact of that. So I think any additional conversation is probably best served amongst policymakers, because I don't foresee a path where any more conversations at the staff level will be successful.
So just as a side note to that, not only was our council, county councilman Herb Sass, who does represent Mount Pleasant, part of Mount Pleasant, he was on the stage at this announcement and talked about how supportive they are of this project. Jenny Honeycutt is extremely supportive of this project, and it was a 9-0 vote to fund this. So I think that maybe we just need to, some of us need to go back and talk to some of our fellow council people at the county level, because that really did throw us a curveball that makes this conversation today even more difficult, let's face it. As far as the last part I asked about the $700,000, so in the money that we're all, we have money that's already allocated this year in this year's budget, not things that we haven't yet talked about or funded, like even the work at Patriots Point Boulevard, that's something we haven't yet funded, right?
Well, it's
in the plan, or it is funded.
Almost fully. As far as we know, without knowing a final cost estimate, it's on its path to being funded.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
We feel there's going to be an increment at the end that we'll have to close in order to be able to construct the project. So that's what makes that TIF money a nice fit into that project. It's right nearby. It connects to it.
So we didn't already have any money allocated to that from any other source?
To that intersection
right.
project? Oh, sure.
We did.
Yeah.
The reason being that since we knew that money was set aside for the possibility of moving that road, and we didn't know what else was happening, and we knew there was at least an effort afoot to do something else, it sort of was earmarked. I don't know that we can say it was definite. It wasn't definite, but I guess what I'm trying to say is you're saying we'd have to come up with a way to say, no, we're not going to do that priority, but...
Well, what I'm saying, not sure I quite follow. What I'm saying is I guess I could ask Mr. McQueenie.
Sure.
If the planned project is proposed to go on the same property as the prior effort, it would require a road relocation, and therefore, being familiar with that, the road relocation part of that project, and therefore you could leave that money as a contribution, 1.1 and change, to this effort. If it's going on a different piece of property, then it may not require the road relocation. If it doesn't, that only allows for the accommodations tax portion to be eligible to be reallocated to the project. The TIF money can't extend to the museum, to the Heritage Center.
Can you speak to that?
Yes. We don't have a designated site. We have to work that with the PPDA, of which I was a member. And that's something that we will work. We've got consent from their chairman, Mr. Ray Chandler, that we're going to move forward to find a site that will work. Our plans are not to move that road. We feel like that's unnecessary. And I've also spoken to the person who's building the Patriots Annex property next to us, Mr. Mikey Bennett, who's a lifelong friend. And there may be some synergy there to work something with him that would help us to keep it on high ground and not move the road.
So then that $400,000 accommodations tax money is still available for this purpose.
Okay, Eric, here's a question that I'm sure is no answer. Can the town assist in bonding a project that isn't the town's project?
I'm unaware of any restrictions, per se. That doesn't mean they're not there. I'd have to investigate it. But keep in mind, we have our own debt capacity under
right.
state law. And so I think we'd be hurting future projects of the town
if we absorb
that capacity
debt.
On... You know, the only way around it would be revenue bonds, which I think would be, in my opinion,
scary,
tough to secure.
Because it's on us.
Yeah.
I think that would be hard to sell to the public as well.
Or referendum, which would be tough.
I agree. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me go back to this question because maybe I'm not asking it very well. Is there any money that we allocate, because I don't have the budget in front of me or the whole project in front of me, for the waterfront pier expansion? Is there any money that wasn't going to be covered by the TIF money that we were going to be putting up from our regular budget?
Oh, you're talking about, okay, now I understand. I apologize. You mean
supplant?
I didn't
ask it well.
Supplant.
Yes.
Could be, because I don't have it in front of me. We'll look, but it's almost entirely TIF, but that's not to say there isn't other money in there as well that could be supplanted. I know
there was like 1.2 that was the grant, and that was for the pier, the slips. And then there was another, I don't know, million something from something else. And then there was maybe 5 that was TIF money. Mm. So I felt like there was some money that the town was also putting up. And that's why I'm saying, since that's a project that fits the TIF use, maybe we could swap.
Possibly. Yeah. But you remember?
I don't remember, but there's also, to your point about the gateway, that intersection, I don't think that's fully TIF, so we can look back, but the TIF money will have to go to another current budgeted TIF.
TIF project.
And I think there's 2 potentially, and we can look at both of those.
If those 2 numbers add up anywhere close to 700 or even 500, then perhaps we could shift what we're using for TIF there over there. Mm-hmm. Bring the money that was more non-purpose over here. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, as long as it's used on TIF. Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, what I'm talking about is, I spoke earlier about existing, things that we've already approved that are ongoing here. You're talking about maybe stopping phase 2?
No.
Okay.
No, just taking, we are taking money out of, I'm sorry, are we allowed to do that? Talk back to each other. I'm sorry. Let me explain my point because maybe I didn't say it clearly. There's a certain budget for the Memorial Waterfront Park, and there's some money that came from the town that's not TIF money, and we're allowed to use all TIF money for that project. So if the TIF money that's sitting over here earmarked could be instead used to finish the waterfront park, and the money that wasn't TIF money from the waterfront park could be used towards this, then nothing is hurt. It's money that was already budgeted.
As long as it's completed, sure. If there's extra money, absolutely. I have no issue with that.
And if it qualifies. If it's, let's say that money in the park is hospitality tax, that wouldn't qualify for a project. But if it's accommodations tax, if it's straight GO bond town money, then we could supplant it. That is an option.
And then Ms. Kotov also said that for the intersection, there's also money that's probably regular money.
It is correct. In fact, of the $500,000 county accommodations tax, that reduction that we won't be receiving, part of that was going to this project. So that's why I know there's some in there, and we plan to deal with that in the new upcoming CIP.
Mr. Bustos?
Thank you, Tommy, for the presentation.
You're welcome.
Rather than trying to figure it out right here, right now, I would like perhaps to see us and staff, if we could say that or task staff with over the next 2 or 3 years, finding $3 million to fit that, and I guess we could make that recommendation from the committee to council that we do this, and then let y'all, and you're going to have to cobble it together. I don't know any other way you're going to do it. And you're going to have to do it over several years and perhaps come up with a program that shows how we can do that in with this money, whatever we can get from this money. And then, in the several years, come up with the remainder of it, and then also find out how quickly we could come up with the $500,000. We have 4, and come up with some more, as has been discussed up here, and then obviously the $700,000. Is going to have to go to something that's TIF eligible. But I would think perhaps we could make a motion and go to full council with that and then turn staff loose on it, designing what that would be over the next several years. Would that work?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, rather than us trying to figure it out right here, because I don't think we'll be able to do that, and perhaps
I think that
we could get on.
I think that's a good idea. But I think that, and we might have to schedule more time for this committee to meet. But when, you know, when Tommy stands up and talks about this project that means a lot to us, we're supportive. Mm-hmm. When Mike shows up from the old village and shows us pictures of his house underwater, we're supportive. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the next thing, we're supportive. So we need to have that meeting that shows all these things that are going to be smacking us in the face, mm-hmm. so that we can, and then the funding sources for each and how we get there, because I think we can do what Mr. Bustos just said. I think we can send you back to the closet and figure out how in the world you're going to find $3 million in the next 5 years, mm-hmm. but not at no expense. You know, I mean, something is going to have to give. So we have to just, at some point, this committee and this council has to have in front of our face all these things that are sitting there smacking us. Because there's a lot. There's a lot, people. I'm telling you. Yes.
Couple things. Okay. So, one, the reason for working through a little of those details is that, you know, the aha moments were here that, okay, maybe we can work something out. Maybe we can make it work. Now, having said that, it has to go to full council regardless. And I would like to make a motion today that we, but before I make the motion, I just want to say one more thing, and that is, I heard it constantly for months and months and months, and I believe everybody else on council did too, how upset and disappointed our community was, and quite honestly, in some ways, it divided the community that other project left us, and the opinions as to why it left us were varied. But either way, it was divisive, it was negative, it was disappointing. We all wanted it to be here. I think something where we're taking money that was already essentially earmarked for something related to that other project that's still sitting there, regardless of the sources, we didn't know the different sources. If we can help as a council use that to get things going and then have the staff look at the next, say 3 years, maybe not 2 years, maybe 3 years, 600,000 per year for 3 years in 2021, 22, and 23. That, you know, that would show very strongly that this council is already, that they've already come to us the way it should have been done from day one before, that they've already talked about the fact that they won't need a height variance, that Mr. McQuinney's made it clear that they're going to go by Mount Pleasant's rules and zoning and everything else, and that we do want to see this go forth. I think if we do too much delay on this or too much back and forth and don't act like we really want it, it's going to seem like we're playing some kind of game. I'd like to make a motion that we send this to council with the recommendation that we have 1.1 million, or if staff looks at it and it can be calculated at 1.2, that can be allocated based on rearranging the TIF funds versus other projects we currently have that are TIF projects, initially, of which 400 to 500 would be available fairly short term. Maybe the other 700 or whatever it is would not be until a little later over the course of 2020. And then the other, that's a very long motion.
Very long motion.
I don't know how you're going to word it as an actual motion.
If I could suggest something, I would suggest that we just tell council that we want to support the $3 million over the next 3 years and then task staff
to come back
to this committee with how to connect all the various dots in this.
I'd like to second that.
Santos?
Yeah, we got a motion in a second. So I just wanted to make it clear. He didn't mean to send you into the closet. I think he was talking about the basement down there with your Boston Red Sox. No.
That's where he keeps all the money.
I'm just kidding. Listen, and we've talked about a lot of things going on with the town, but one thing is very important to me, and that's the wage and compensation study. I want to make sure that that's taken care of as well before anything happens, because our staff is the most important thing for this town, and they do a great job, and I want to make sure that's in, that's included before we, you know, take any money away from that.
So, here's where I think we are. We want you leaving hearing support. Because I think, again, I speak for one, there's only four, but there's nine, and I think you have support. The second thing is, with your motion, I don't think Mr. Bustos gave a second. I think he was giving an alternative way to
a more succinct way to word the first one.
Let me ask this. Would you withdraw your motion?
I'll withdraw my motion, or I can change it to the shorter version.
Okay. And if you would just...
Motion withdrawn.
Okay. I think if we just say to council, make a recommendation that we support, that our recommendation to council is to support the $3 million over 3 years and leave it at that, and then staff can work on the how-to.
Do we have a second?
That's a second.
Okay, so we have a second discussion on this. I would like to say, Mr. Bustos, I wonder, even though it would be a small gesture towards the $3 million, the fact that we do have $400,000 here, that we could add to the motion that we will make an immediate donation of the $400,000 to get them started with plans and studies and the things that you mentioned, mm-hmm. because it's going to go there anyway, if the full council approves it. Could that be in the motion, or do we want to just wait?
I'll tell you what, let's do the $3 million motion first, okay. Get a vote, and then I will come back and we will also recommend that we do an immediate $400,000 from the money that's already sitting there.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do we have any other motions?
And now make a second motion that we recommend to council that we immediately contribute the $400,000 that is already residing for this project that we have.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, special thanks to Mr. McQueenie. Special thanks to this committee for working through something that is difficult but important. Anything else to add?
I just want to thank all of you for your support on this. This is so important to this nation, well outside of this area, that this should be at Patriots Point, so named aptly for the patriotism of this country.
Can I make one last comment? And I despise the negativity from yesterday back towards everything that went on with the past thing. I hope that we can just turn our head forward towards the completion of what's going on now and not dwell anymore on the negativity of the past, because it is important.
It is very important. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, good job. Next, we have a discussion of potential action regarding CARTA's proposed budget.
Oh, yeah, sure. We received, it is a requirement that the participating municipalities approve the CARTA budget, and they presented us with their budget plan, which had been forwarded to each of you to review. They had planned to be here today to present the budget for us, and they had some scheduling conflicts and could not attend. I represented to them that, well, let's maintain it on the agenda, so that way you can see it, at least see in general what they're looking for in terms of revenues and expenditures. And there are some more details in their budget plan that's been provided. And they will be in front of council at your council meeting as normal to request budget approval. So that's where we are.
Any comments by the committee? Just to clarify, these are not our general fund dollars.
No, it's completely theirs. It's a significant reduction from the prior year.
Yeah.
Most of it, and they can provide more information, it appears, is that most of it has to do with their intermodal center being completed.
Right.
So there's money coming in spent for that, and then that's it for the project.
All right, thank you. The next is discussion and potential action regarding parking meters at Memorial Waterfront Park. This is a discussion that we had brought up in the past, and we do have a report, so thank you.
Yes, sir. This summer, we've had the fortune to work with Trent Paglarini as our budget intern, and this is one of the items that we put on to him, and he's going to present his finding.
Good afternoon, committee members. Last month, the committee members asked for more information regarding potential paid parking throughout the town. While the focus was on Memorial Waterfront Park, committee members asked to explore different areas as well. Since we have gone back and looked at areas in the town, including parks, roads, and facilities where paid parking could be implemented, staff reviewed these options and determined some potential areas as seen on the map. Any location chosen would require a unique action plan with variable considerations. Three main methods were explored, those being kiosks, a gate or arm system, and meters. Depending on the location, a specific method would need to be implemented, with each one containing various distinctions, like cost, enforcement, and utilization. In addition to general maintenance, cellular fees would come with any method offering credit card payment. The level of parking enforcement should also be taken into account to ensure proper meter time limit compliance. Related to collection of physical currency, there is no way of tracking meter payments, so two employees or a service provider would be required to empty the meters to ensure money is properly accounted for. And because there has been expressed interest in alternatives for residents, kiosks have the ability to accept special codes given to citizens for reduced rates. And a gate could also have the ability to allow a citizen to scan in with a pass. A gate was not discussed previously, but could be applicable at Memorial Waterfront Park. Lastly, these are the main discussion areas of note. The first step is to determine if, when, and where there will be paid parking. Then, decisions need to be made about what method will be used, what rate will be charged, when they will be enforced, how they will be enforced, and if a citizen discount is offered. And for comparison, surrounding municipality rates are shown above in the chart. The final consideration is determining the level of paid parking implementation. Depending on that level, additional staff may be necessary in the form of parking enforcement that would oversee all parking-related issues. Recommending an exact staff size is difficult to estimate, as the nuances of each municipality differ. All considerations are dependent on the level of paid parking that council might consider. Thank you.
This is the second meeting I've attended where interns gave really good presentations.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any comments? Any actions? My head's going this way.
Well, as you know, I brought this up because of you have the Ferry Wharf parking garage getting ready to open here soon. And, you know, people are always looking for the cheapest way to park to save money. And when it opens, they're not going to park in that parking garage. They're going to come park over in our facility because it's free. And I think that we need to have some type of deterrent to be able to have parking always available for our citizens. And that's what's going to happen. And I know what's going to happen because, like I said, they're not going to want to pay $8 when they can just park over in our place for free. So I think it behooves us to go ahead and establish that parking again, as the gentleman talked about earlier that was here. And then make sure our citizens get some type of decal or something so that they're allowed to park for free.
Randy?
Well, I normally would not start with something that had come from the paper, but I will in this case. There was an editorial piece about this, and one of the points that was made was, why not wait and see whether there really is a problem here before you start making a lot of plans and spending money on something that may or may not be needed? And on that note, I gave a lot of thought to that, and I happen to work in the building that's just right next to this. And so I've watched the parking deck and the office building as well now, the Embassy Suites building, going up, and I drive right by them daily. In that large office building, you're going to have quite a few corporations. Merrill Lynch Bank of America's office is going to be there. It's going to be a consolidated building. The reason I'm bringing this up is a lot of the folks working there wouldn't dream of walking all the way down from Memorial Waterfront Park. They would be using that parking deck, and they might be doing it because it's one of the only parking available areas to them that's close. They might also, in many cases, I know this for a fact, have the opportunity to buy a pass monthly that they would be using. Secondly, the Embassy Suites is going to be essentially almost attached. I don't know if they'll have an actual walkway, but probably will have a walkway. I don't know about y'all, but when I go somewhere in a hotel and I'm trying to bring my bag from whether I'm on a business trip or whatever, last thing I want to do is be dragging that or schlepping it for a not as nice word, but dragging that all the way down the street from a waterfront park spot. So I think the people that are at the hotel are probably going to be staying with that parking deck. There will probably be valet parking for that spot, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't also be using the parking deck. So it's a little different than the Shem Creek parking deck, where people do tend to avoid paying and do their best to park in the spots that are open. I think a lot of what's going to feed into this one, so it very well may be that in this one we don't have to be preemptive, that we can wait and see how it goes, because if there's no problem here, why create something that is going to cause potentially a lot of concern in the community and or a lot of expense on the part of the town before we know if we have a problem.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
Tom, just one more thing. You know, I hate being trying to govern from behind, and that's what you're talking about doing, govern from behind. Let's see if the problem occurs. When it occurs, then we react. I like to be proactive. I mean, look at the opioid crisis. You know, we waited till people started dying before we responded to it. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think we need to get out in front of. Why wait till there's a problem? You got people that's going to be visiting those stores. You got people that are going to be shopping there. There's a lot of different people that's going to be going to that complex that are not going to want to pay for parking. They're going to want to park for free. And so if we wait for there's a situation to happen, you know, it might cost more money for us to do it at that time if we wait a period. I think it's important that we protect our citizens and give them an opportunity to be able to park there and not have to worry about having people park all day. You're talking about just walking over the boardwalk. It's not like you're going far. And you talk about, you know, dropping valet your stuff off at the hotel and have valet parking. You're still paying that parking fee. You know, so people are creatures of habit. If they can save $8, $7 a day, they're going to do it. And I don't blame them. I probably would park over there as well and walk over that boardwalk and get there. So you're looking at also people that are shopping, you know, not just working there, but also shopping there, visiting there, going to the restaurants there as well. And so I just don't want to operate, you know, from behind and wait to see if a problem happens. That problem's coming. We know it's going to come. And I just want to get out in front of it. That's all.
Do you have a motion?
I have a motion that we approve the parking. I'm just not sure which one is the best. I think maybe staff ought to tell us which one they think is the best. I don't want to pick one for them. I'd rather, you know, Eric, if you guys can look at this and come back to us and tell us what you think is going to be the best one for the town.
Yeah, kiosks. We would need to, I think, start to move in a direction of parking enforcement within the police department. Really, they're the best ones to monitor and write tickets if necessary. The citizen discount would be difficult administratively. Mm-hmm. If we had to issue passes for free, that would be I think a considerable effort. We could manage that.
We could certainly charge whatever the cost of those are. I'm not saying free, but I mean. Yeah. $1, $5, whatever it is to buy that pass.
Sure.
And then you got a free pass for the rest of the year or something.
Okay. And that was similar to how we handled it before. People had to come into the visitor center and they had to prove residency, and we would issue them a pass for a fee. We had to open another collection point, but we did it. And then after that, we would have a management company. We'd probably acquire the kiosks. Either on our own or through the management company, have them operate it, collect it, remit. And then lastly, you'd have to decide the rate per day.
So Mr. Nomura, this has been done in the past?
Yes.
It's not being done now?
Correct.
Tell us why.
Council voted to...
Oh, that's a good enough reason.
I do it.
Okay.
But actually remove them.
Okay.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Couple more thoughts. So we've been told just recently in a discussion, first of all, I'm not trying to be reactive on something as critical as the opioid addiction situation. So I think that we need to keep things on sort of a level playing field here. You start bringing up things that are very emotional and it changes this conversation completely. So I believe strongly that first of all, do we even know, are there going to be any surface parking spaces around the retail part of this complex? Because I haven't seen something that shows the specifics.
Yeah, I think so. I was hoping I'd turn around and see Jeff behind me.
There's a mix of structured parking and some surface
parking. Okay.
As the development continues.
Thank you.
So it's not going to all be, and isn't it also possible or likely, it's not going to all be where you have to go into the parking deck for paid parking, but isn't it also possible that there's going to be restaurants that validate, stores that validate? That's certainly true downtown Charleston, I know, because I've utilized that myself.
I would think so.
All right. So again, when I say to wait a little while, I'm not talking about 5 years or 3 years. I'm talking about, I think that in Mr. Bennett's grand plan of the Ferry Wharf, he probably had to look at parking and how all this was going to fit. And I'm sure just to get approval, he had to have everything adequately designed. But I can tell you for a fact, business people in that or office building are not going to be parking way down the street and coming there. And so more than likely, a lot of the Embassy Suites folks aren't either. So the other issue, which came up just recently when we were talking about phase two or the next phase, which I don't know if we call that phase three or what we call that other phase two part B, which was to have the overflow parking. And one of the reasons we decided not to do that right now in lieu of moving the TIF funds from the pier was because that doesn't get utilized very often. So if we end up finding that there's an issue with parking becoming more crowded on a regular basis, right now, didn't you say it's once a month that we use that overflow parking?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. So if we need that overflow parking to be available more often, is that a big problem? It's there. I think we have strings around it right now or something, don't we?
Yes, of course it is. If we were going to be using it more often, ideally we would like to make some improvements out there.
Right.
Similar to what we had
Which is
proposed.
What we talked about doing, right. Maybe get some permeable paving or something going on. Bottom line is I just don't see a reason for this motion right now unless we're just simply going to ask. I would not be in favor of voting for this right now. That's just, and for those reasons, I think there's too many things that are not being answered ahead of time, and I think we have to look at all this because this is going to be a contentious issue. So it would be to me be more prudent to wait and get more information and have some of these things answered.
Mr. Santos, on your motion, do you have one that could
sure.
Firm this up, or would you rather them
I'll make a motion that we approve the parking, the kiosk as described by our administrator.
Okay. Do we have a second? Okay, for lack of a second, motion fails. We will go to the next item. Approval of Mount Pleasant Water Works State Revolving Fund Series Ordinance authorizing a water and sewer system parity bond evidencing a loan from the Water Quality Revolving Fund Authority to the town for sewer improvements.
Yes, sir. The Town Council approved Mount Pleasant Water Works application for this SRF loan back in September of 2018. Mark Coffin, their CFO, is here if you have any additional questions. But they have been approved at an interest rate of 2.6 for an amount of $5,574,130. With your recommendation for approval, it would two readings of an ordinance would go to town council.
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend approval to full council.
Do we have a second?
Second,
okay. Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, next, item 7, review of economic indicators.
Oh, before we go, can I ask
yes.
a question? We already voted on it, but I'm just curious. The pump station conversion, was that in Old Village? Which one was that? The pump station conversion.
Gosh.
Do you remember? Section 4 is going to be converted. I can't tell you exactly which ones they are.
Oh, okay. So none of this has to do with the old village drainage?
I think there are in other parts of town.
14 pump stations. We're dealing with this long, so.
Okay, thanks. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, economic indicators?
Yes, good afternoon. Included in your economic packet for today was our full economic indicators report, and I plan on going through just a few of the highlights. Staff continuously look at these certain items, including building permits, how it affects our revenues, our accommodations, hospitality, and retail sales. The total number of building permits issued in fiscal year 2019 is 4% less than fiscal year 2018 and 12% less than fiscal year 17. The revenue generated by the building permits is down roughly 18% from fiscal year 18 and 32% from fiscal year 17, as you can see on those charts. Commercial permits are down from the prior year, mostly due to the spike in the commercial permits issued in December of 2017, which was right before the impact fee rate increase. Single family permits are up 37 for the year, or 5% from the prior fiscal year. However, with the building permit allocation system that took effect in January of 2019, the number of permits issued in December 2018 were doubled as compared to December of 2017. Since January, when the building permit allocation system was put in place, the number of permits issued decreased by 56, or 15%, as compared to the same time frame last year. The impact of the building permit allocation system was taken into account when we were developing the fiscal year 20 budget in our five-year forecast. Business license tax is a major component of the town's operating revenues. It is important to monitor the class of businesses, the number of businesses, and the gross income of those businesses, as all of those impact town revenues. The revenue from business license totaled $13.5 million in fiscal year 2019, which is 3% higher than fiscal year 18. However, as you can see on that top chart, most of the revenue growth was received in the first two quarters. The third and fourth quarters has shrunk quite significantly from the prior year in fiscal year 18. Third quarter was 33% lower, and fourth quarter was 43% lower than the same quarters. It is important to understand that construction contractors pay their business license tax for the month that the work is performed, therefore indicating, again, construction that we're seeing is slowing within the town compared to prior years. Construction for the business activity within the town comprises 33%, as you can see on that pie chart, of all business license revenue in the town. We do continue to monitor the construction industry within the town as it relates to building permit revenue and the impact on our business license revenue. And our last chart for today is accommodations, hospitality, and sales tax. You'll see here fourth quarter's not yet been received. It should be coming sometime this week. That's normal. It usually comes in August for the fourth quarter, and we'll accrue that back to fiscal year 19. We are on track to grow slightly from fiscal year 18 in all three of these categories, and we will continue to experience growth. However, it'll be at a much more moderate pace than what we've seen in the prior years. Again, these factors were all taken into account in the developing the fiscal year 20 budget and our five-year forecast.
Thank you very much. So I guess, Marcy, with in basic terms, billing has gone down and the revenues have also gone down as a result.
Yes, sir. We monitor both the activity and the value it brings because we see that in our property taxes. Mm-hmm. So while we're still seeing growth, generally it's the percentages is much less than in the past. And again, in our, as Jonathan Edwards said, in our five-year forecast, we trended that very conservatively based on this.
But business seems to be doing well.
Yes, sir.
And accommodations taxes seem to be doing well.
Yes, sir. I will tell you, in speaking with the county budget director, one of the things they said is Mount Pleasant in accommodations tax was one of the only areas that they were still trending a growth of 4%.
Right.
From their calculation as well.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to add on that? That, you know.
You just keep a close eye on it.
I see the mirror in front of my face. I like when someone says, now as a result of that, here's what you probably should be doing.
Right.
But I guess that's on us. Okay. Very good. Okay. Since there are no other items and another committee waiting, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
can't go home.